It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Good evening, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world, and I mean all over the world, on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, and today I am here to hand the baton on to my good buddy, Alki David, and Lauren Savon. I can't call you a good buddy, can I?
Why not? We're good buddies.
I know, but, you know,
it's... You got a lawsuit, son. Careful.
Yeah,
no, good buddy is fine.
Can you sign a waiver?
Absolutely.
Okay, Lauren's
on video.
I'm giving you consent to call me good buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm not worried about Alki, but, you know, you never know.
You never know.
You never know. Alki, you ever been accused of something that you didn't do?
you know, and that is what is amazing. What is amazing is being accused of something that you didn't do, right? And it's an amazing feeling.
It's the most frustrating feeling.
And obviously it depends what it is as to how right. It's going to really impact you on an emotional, mental.
It can destroy you.
I mean, people kill themselves.
Right.
Many people, you see, this is what I find really wrong in what's happened, what we've allowed to happen.
Yeah. And you know,
Knows this better than anyone?
David.
Our guest today.
Lord Haig.
Yes.
Lord Haig. Yeah, he fights for those who are wrong.
He's amazing. He's an amazing man.
Why don't you talk to him?
Let's call him. Shall I call him on the phone?
He's on the
phone. I believe he's here with us.
Oh, hello, Dave.
Through the magic of technology.
Hi.
Dave.
Hello.
Hello, Dave.
How is everyone?
Lord Haig, how nice to have you on the show.
It's very, very nice to be here. I am obviously calling from a phone, and I'm sure you might have seen the news that the first Brit apparently to have this terrible NSO spyware on my phone.
So everybody's so listening to us.
I might be listening.
Yeah. Salam alaikum, brothers. So, Dave, explain what ended you up on the front page of The Guardian and The Washington Post yesterday. Tell people why you got so much attention.
Well, as listeners of the show know, I mean, I've been had been for some years assisting a Dubai princess who was trying to escape all sorts of very terrible things at the hands.
And she's out now. She's out now. She's out now. And it's getting better, hopefully, right?
It's getting better, but jury's still out, I would say, because also while she's still in the country that her father controls, the one that she tried to leave, spent two decades trying to leave from, there's obviously not complete enough.
So how does that affect your phone, Dave? How does that affect your phone?
A few weeks ago, a newspaper contacted me along with Amnesty International, and they said, we're doing this project. It's very secret. But we think you've been targeted by this spyware called Pegasus, which is the product of an Israeli company called NSO.
It's very famous, yeah. Pegasus. It's very famous. Yeah.
And I was, when you kind of do what I've been doing, you always kind of assume that somebody would be looking at your phone. And initially, first of all, they said to me, well, can we have a full copy of your phone? And I thought, I'm not going to give a copy of my phone to a newspaper. But then ultimately, I gave it to Amnesty. And then there's two things in this. There's a list, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard about, of people, about 50,000 people that were targets. But on that list, very few of the people on that list who've had their phones looked at have actually found any evidence of this terrible software because it self-deletes. Now, it's licensed to apparently only governments, and it's meant to be used to catch people like terrorists. Now, what it's been found on is journalists, lawyers, human rights advocates, advisors to the Dalai Lama, the French president, people that it really shouldn't have been used against. And they found on my phone about a week ago a very clear copy that on the 8th of, no, sorry, the 3rd of August last year, which was about 9 days after we'd lost contact with the princess, So basically, someone found the princess's secret phone, found obviously my number on it, and thought, aha, let's go and put some spyware on there and see what's going on. And that was put on the 3rd of August last year. And it's chilling. It's a chilling thing. You don't. It's a no-click technology. So if they've got your number, they can take everything on your phone, your whole life, your banking, your messages. They can turn the camera on. They can listen. I mean, all sorts of crazy stuff.
It's very powerful, Pegasus. I've seen video of it in action. It's incredible stuff. I mean, you know, it's like listeners need to understand that everything that we say and speak and do goes through a myriad of filters.
Absolutely. And goes through multiple companies that can see everything we do on our phone. All these QR codes that everybody's scanning.
I love QR codes.
Well, those are third-party companies that can pull information off your phone.
I love QR codes.
Makes me delete my nudes. Well, sorry, David, are you still here?
It's very scary when you think what they've got access to. I mean, I shouldn't joke about it because it is very serious.
Absolutely.
What they've done, but the thing that I was discussing with the Amnesty guy is that you probably got all these people in Dubai very excited that they got into my phone. And one of the few, obviously, other than the serious stuff I used to talk about with Latifa, we'd send pictures of kittens and fluffy monkeys to each other. So all they've got is like a nature show, Animal Planet pictures backwards and forwards. So they must have thought we were quite strange in that situation. But it's really chilling. And on a serious note, you know, it's effectively an affront to democracy and the rule of law. I mean, if you've got...
Who's got it, Dave? Who's got it? Who's got it? Who's using it? Who's abusing it? Who have you found out?
All sorts of countries have it. And, you know, for instance, you see a lot... And it's usually the bad ones. It's usually the despotic regime, the tyrants, the likes of the UAE, Saudi, etc. And they're using it against journalists. You know, lawyers is inarguable, but journalists, I mean, why on earth are they using it? It's been found on journalists' phones as well. So you've got governments that don't like what's being written about them or what's being said about them in court, targeting these people and taking all, basically, aspects of their lives. And it's not just that they can get into your phone, they can track your location.
Who is responsible, other than sort of like some rogue Israeli operation, who's operating, who's supporting the software?
Well, it's basically initially, obviously, NSO that's created it. And it's their argument is that they check the human rights records of all the governments they give it to. You look at Dubai. How did Dubai and the UAE and the likes of Saudi pass a human rights check? And so it's obviously they give it to these rogue states.
So you think they use it as blackmail on some level?
Well, they use it for purposes it's not meant for. It's meant for catching terrorists.
Right.
It's not meant for snooping on the lawyer of the daughter of the ruler who wanted to escape. You know, it's not meant for harassing journalists and finding out what's happening. And who knows what they use it for? I mean, I think it's now every day we're seeing more and more people targeted. More and more things will come to light. I mean, in my case, you know,
Dave, all sorts of strange stuff happens. Do you see any connection with the Chinese Communist Party and Pegasus?
I mean, at the moment I don't, but the thing is, I'm sure if the Israelis have developed something like that, other countries have. And, I can't imagine that China doesn't have something similar. And what we do know with NSO is that they apparently fired the UAE as a client last year over human rights concerns. But I'm sure Dubai has gone to another person. I don't know. What we do know about NSO is that it's owned by a private equity group that might have investment from China as well. I don't know. But it does seem a concern.
All roads lead to Deutsche Bank China.
Perhaps, yeah. or at least to Dubai in my world.
You know, Deutsche Bank China has existed since 1870 in China. Deutsche Bank China. I mean, I've got information on those people that...
Why don't you disclose it?
Oh, I will. I will. I will. Let's wrap up with Dave. Dave, are you safe?
Who knows? I mean, I'm on this rather ridiculous police protection list, and I've got all these panic alarms from the Home Office and everything. But I live as Alki knows, I live in deepest, darkest Cornwall in England, so by the beach. So one hopes I'm fine. But at the end of the day, it's like the phone. You when I spoke to Amnesty, and I said, "Well, what can you do about it?" And effectively,
every assassin has just been mobilized to Cornwall.
It was nice knowing you all.
We hope you're safe. Be safe.
Dave, if you go to YouTube and look up the Runaway Princess or Princess Latifah, go to YouTube, you'll see Dave featured at two 60-minute, one-hour episodes about the hair-raising lifestyle that has led him to Gervie's Law.
Yeah. Thanks for being with us, and we're looking forward to seeing you on the cover of more.
Yeah,
For the right reasons.
For the right reasons.
On the cover of magazines.
Or the wrong reasons, Dave.
No, the right
reasons.
Just
keep carving out those wrong reasons, Dave.
Go to sleep.
Will do.
All right.
Thanks, everyone.
Night.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. And well, Alki, you get some of the greatest guests for us. You got anyone else in the next 45 minutes?
You never know who's going to call that phone of his.
Well, we can call Suge Knight in jail. We can try and call Suge Knight. We can give it a go. I don't know.
Let's give it a go.
We can call Scott Storch.
Does he have a smuggled phone, or are we just hoping
they put him on the
line?
No, they've got phones in jail. They can.
Will Suge talk to us?
He will. I mean, he's got a lot to say.
Yeah. Well, we need to get him on.
Yeah. If not, the best we can do is probably we get some messages from Scott Storch, who is producing some of the biggest hits in the world right now, and he was on the phone the other day, and I snooped in on a conversation with Suge, who I do know as
well. Okay, we want to hear about that.
Yeah, it's
we're going to take a break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Well, I'm not sure you're going to get any legal, moral, or common sense advice on this show.
Mm-mm.
Not today.
Mm-mm.
Uh-uh. Mm-mm. We got Alki David and Lauren Savon, and I'll tell you, Alki, you have a lot of friends, but not a lot of them call you back.
Well, what time is it? What day is it?
What day is it?
What country are they in?
No, you were talking to Chet Hanks.
Yeah, Chet. Chet's great. We're working together. We're working on a movie together. It's a secret movie. It's called Cabana Boys.
That's secret.
Yeah.
And he's a Hanks from...
He's Tom Hanks's son that Tom probably wishes would be a little quieter. He just released a very, very popular song called White Boy Summer.
Very popular.
And he is a hilarious character.
Now, you were just FaceTiming with him, but he wouldn't come on the show.
He's in Malibu. He has no signal.
Oh, that's
right. You ever tried to make a phone call there?
It's impossible to make a phone call.
No one invites me to Malibu. I wouldn't.
I've invited you repeatedly, and you just keep dodging the
bullet. What about this Storch character, Lauren?
Scott Storch is a living legend. He is the Elton John of hip hop.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
We do not refer to him in the third person disrespectfully in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know so many musicians.
Yeah.
How do you? Music. Yeah. Is it just because your love of music, or like what brings you together with all these?
Everyone loves music. I mean, everybody.
Yeah,
loves
exactly.
Music.
So
I mean, music is the sacred geometry of our minds.
Yeah, but how do you create relationships with musicians? Like I know you have
the reggae guy.
I consider myself an artist as well, right?
Okay.
I've acted in a bunch of movies. I keep my all in artistic.
So you run in like those therapy. Circles mm-hmm. that artists mm-hmm. run in. You run in the same circles as a lot of artists and a lot of creators.
I like to buy art. I like art, visual art. I studied at the Royal College of Art. I have a PhD in film sciences from the Royal College of Art. You know, so I gravitate towards any kind of expression, and the freedom of that expression is of such importance to people's health, people's mental health.
Absolutely. So I would love to get your take, because in the last year, I would say NFTs or non-fungible tokens have exploded, right, into like mainstream. And a lot of the people that you mentioned, a lot of these musical artists have their own, they're minting their own. But you're involved in the game as well, aren't you?
With art, actually, oddly enough. We've created some really cool non-fungible token is really a unique identifier, right?
Right.
We've created some really cool glass miniatures of the artwork that we've curated, which goes from Picasso to Bacon, right through to Alec Monopoly and Retina. You know, so it goes from the sublime to the ridiculous of the art space, and we're selling fractional sales of great artwork, so people can own a fractional piece of great artwork.
How do you do that? Do you own the original?
Yes. We either own or acquire it.
Wow. Okay, so you're auctioning off parts of an original. Tokens of the
selling,
original.
Selling pieces of the artwork, which is then stored in a place called Mount Ten or the Swiss Fort Knox. It's a mountain in Switzerland, and the artwork is kept there. And it's at the same place holds about 8% of the world's Bitcoin core storage. So
that,
it's
fascinating, because so many people are, you know, criticize this new NFT boom, saying that it's, you know, just digital memes and it's not highbrow art.
It's
but
necessary.
You've actually brought
you
both
why, it's
together.
It's so necessary. We live in right now in a time, in a geopolitical time, that has caused upheaval globally. Geopolitically, the things are going on that are, you know, beyond our imagination. And so in this time when currencies such as value coins, value-based crypto coin, there's absolutely no reason why it is not as realistic as gold or as current any other currency.
Right.
I mean, I think the difference is there has to be value behind the coin or the currency. There has to be a value, otherwise people will see through it.
But who determines the value?
And that's going to be the roadkill.
Right? Good question.
Yeah, but I mean, right now we're in a time where, you know, it depends on who determines the value. Like, you have a Dogecoin, for example, that was started as a joke and a meme, but because people determined that it had value, you know, its value soared.
No, but if you look at that asset, the legality, the legal structure, if you look at the legal structure of what's going on there, there is an asset, if not stock to Tesla or something, is backing that coin.
Mm-hmm.
In order for it to take off, it needs that. Otherwise, everybody would be at it, and not everybody is at it. You know, there are limited, you know, as to what coin. Is it Ethereum? Is it Bitcoin? Is it, you know, what structure? What infrastructure?
No, many of these coins are going to change. You know, they are
Bitcoin
the future.
Is,
but
20% of Bitcoin is owned and operated by the Chinese Communist Party. 20% of it, as they proved very successfully recently. So there was a switch over to Ethereum. But what is the background of Ethereum? Do people really know what the background of Ethereum is?
I don't think so.
Did you know that CBS, blessed CBS, and Les Moonves, did you know that Les Moonves was a member of the Chinese Communist Party? Did you know that?
I didn't know.
Did you know
that
I wasn't aware.
Fluent Mandarin. He was a translator for the CIA. And he was a fluent speaker of Mandarin, and he is a lifetime member of the Chinese Communist Party. And he, ladies and gentlemen, is the guy that
brought
in.
Les Moonves is a communist?
Yes, sir.
I mean, add that to the other list of things wrong with Les Moonves.
Can be applied to.
Does that implicate CBS?
Hmm?
It implicates the communist broadcasting service.
It implicates CNET, download.com, all of the acquisitions that CBS Interactive bought in the mid-90s. CNET, download.com were the most visited sites in the world at the time. And they distributed through those sites LimeWire, which, if you remember LimeWire.
Oh, yes.
Remember, there was 16% of the world's computers at one point, yeah?
Yeah.
But that was the beginning. That was the beginning of the end of many traditional forms of media, and new forms of media such as crypto came in at that point.
But the positive thing about crypto, or the great thing, and why I think it's you know, better than fiat currency is because there's no central bank, right? The whole idea is that it's decentralized, except that you do have China.
There are banks involved.
Yeah, there are banks involved, but there's it's not like the World Bank can determine rates. You can't have
government can't control currency so much anymore.
Right.
Right. Because it's but the realities of it is this is that Facebook, Google, all of these platforms are now government institutions, okay?
Right.
And they disseminate the information of our global society through these platforms. So the reality of it is that Dogecoin and Bitcoin and all of this, it's so homogenized and it's such a cesspool cesspool is a negative word, right?
I would say yes. No one wants to be in a cesspool.
Yeah, no, but no, no.
Would you agree with that characterization?
What I meant by that is I was throwing shade on the technology of crypto. You know, and it comes from a very dark background. Comes from the Silk Road.
The Silk Road, yeah.
Right.
Which is why I think it got a bad rap in the beginning.
Like, you know what OG from weed comes from? Do you know where OG comes from?
No.
Do you know what is OG?
Original gangster.
No, ocean grown.
What?
Ocean grown.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, that's what it means.
Why?
OG
what is ocean?
Marijuana means ocean grown. It means that it was grown by the ocean. Hence, it has certain qualities. You know, the certain qualities in the growth of the plant, particularly with the salt water, with the salt air. Which acts as a disinfectant, you can grow very successfully by the ocean. That's why it's an OG.
I mean, I can't even Google this stuff fast enough as it comes out of you, Alki. Yeah. You're like a walking trivia machine.
Oracle of Delphi.
You know.
No, but you know what? Everybody knows these answers. Everybody knows these because if they resonate with you, you intuitively, we're all ultimately connected in ways that we. When we unwrap the illusion of self, we discover that we're just one big giant life existence.
Life. That was profound. Mm. We're one big giant life.
Yeah. Or Lacan. If you replace the word life. Consciousness with the word life, right?
I don't even think there's consciousness. At least there's I'm unconscious right now. We're going to take a break.
You look like you're in a deep coma.
There's more coming up after this.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, and we're back. Let's listen to some tunes. Is this reggae?
No, this is not reggae. This is art in the booth has put on something that is unfathomable.
You're a reggae fan, aren't you?
I'm an everything fan.
But reggae, cannabis, it goes
reggae.
Together.
I love reggae. You know, I was listening to some really great reggae the other day, and I started crying. And I'm thinking, why am I crying? And you know what? Reggae is every person's
therapist.
Struggle. Every person, you know, it's
therapy.
It's a human struggle. The music is about human struggle and about emancipation.
And plus, when you got the cannabis, it makes it easier.
Yeah, of course, it brings that to the fore. Sacred plant.
You got any friends that know anything about cannabis?
I have lots of friends. We have one waiting. We have Mr. Really? Marlon Asher waiting. Mr. Marlon Asher is a reggae legend. He sung a song about 15 years ago called Ganja Farmer. And the Ganja Farmer song is played on every radio station in the Caribbean. And it's about the struggle and strife of being a cannabis grower in Trinidad Tobago, which is where he's from, which is a former British colony, which is under British sort of post-colonial rule of law.
And right. I take it it's not legal there?
Mm-hmm. The Caribbean islands are all in a flux. Some, like Jamaica, have fully legalized cannabis. Others are still very backward in the law. We just.
This is a great tune.
It's very famous. It's very famous.
Makes me want to go there.
But this is our remix. This is the SwissX remix, which is my SwissX is the Swiss company that is exploiting these assets, which include hemp seeds, a large hemp seed. Portfolio that we've built up, as well as the streaming content and streaming. We essentially we've developed the Amazon of wellness with a sharper image.
Oh,
and that's at SwissX.com.
Can we talk to the guy who did that song?
No, where? Well, let's talk to him. Yeah, oh, Marlon. Marlon.
Marlon Asher.
Yeah,
you're oh, hey, you're on hello. The phone. I'm sorry, Marlon. I had no idea you were on the line. I'm sorry, Marlon. This is Mr. Marlon Asher. Now performs with everybody, all famous names from here in California. From who do you play with last? Who was the last band you played with, Marlon?
Slightly Stupid.
Slightly Stupid, they're great.
I'll be performing with them on the 14th and 15th in Red Rocks.
Red Rock, who else is
Colorado?
Who else is going? What's going to happen that day?
Oh, it's a Slightly Stupid in concert.
Great, they got a huge following.
Yeah.
But this is like the second or third time you performed them, like this year, no?
Oh yeah, well, I performed Colorado 3 or 4 times with them. We also sold out the place, and I have a commemorative plaque to show it with a piece of the.
So what are the dates on that?
Oh, it was, you know, dates fuzzy with me. I got a lot of dates in my head.
You don't ask a Rastaman dates. That's a bad
idea.
No,
yeah.
All right, Lauren, you wanted to ask him a question.
No, I love the song, and I was just reading about the lyrics of it and how you came up with it. You know, and I guess I assumed that it was completely legal in Jamaica and Trinidad, and I had no idea that the government actually burns fields down. For farmers.
And they shoot back as well.
I think it was a scam, though, because the people could actually see helicopters flying off with a bunch of weed, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
I see.
It was just burning
Marlon, you came to music somewhat late, didn't you? I mean, you are the original Rastafari ganja farmer. He really is the OG. And in this case, OG means original gangster. In this case, right?
Yeah, actually, you know, singing was natural to me. I was born in a pretty much musical family, but you know, I did a lot of things before singing. You know, and when I did get the opportunity to sing, you know, I made the best. Of that opportunity.
Well, that ganja farmer song is a classic actually, song in reggae. I mean, it's a great song. It's a great song, Marlon. So, but isn't it great that we can smoke weed in California so freely?
Well, California was kind of every smoker's dream, huh?
Yeah.
When I came to California, it was shocking to me that. Everyone and anyone was smoking weed. I met a lot of people, old people, young people, and everyone was smoking marijuana and had somewhat a little bit of knowledge about what they smoking, meaning strain, variety of strain, where it came from, the origin, you know. So California is actually one of the, you know, great place that marijuana, you know, could ever find itself growing.
Isn't it amazing that a great sacred plant like that can be so vilified and so controlled for whatever reasons, whatever hemp industry, cotton industry, whatever the point is that. Regardless, it's amazing how this. I suppose you can't keep a good plant down, can you? You can't keep a good plant down.
And to everyone who knows about growing a plant, you know when a plant decide I'm going to be healthy and grow healthy. It doesn't matter what you do, it's going to come out to be a great plant. So,
you know, I don't know if a lot of people know, in California, at home, you can grow six plants legally at home. You know, and it's like, to us, it's commonplace. Or to potheads, it's very common knowledge. But a lot of people don't know that they can legally grow six plants in their household and not be afraid of retribution.
And that is something that was, you know, just implemented in Trinidad. Now the citizens can grow four plants. So,
and they copied that from our work that we did in Antigua with the Hemp Act. We developed the Hemp Act in Antigua, and one of the kickers was taken right out of the farm bill here in America, where you allow people to grow at home and contribute to the plant culture. It really empowers the industry. It does magical things, you know, because think about this. In the Caribbean, you've got 70% of an island nation will go to prison on a cannabis charge at some point in their life because they are Rastafari. And it's indigenous in the culture to smoke, right?
Smoke, yeah. Definitely.
I mean, all the time, as much as possible. Amen.
Are either of you shocked, though, that in just one single generation, the culture has turned so much when it comes to marijuana? I mean, growing up in the 80s, it was the war on drugs, and marijuana was a gateway drug that would lead you down the road to, you know, worse things. And now all of a sudden, everybody understands the medicinal benefits of it, and now the government's gotten involved too in legalizing it. It's just amazing to me how fast that turnaround was. Well, are you guys surprised at all, or did you think it was a long time coming?
Years and years and years. Every year there were, you know, the annoying weed people were lobbying government, and finally somebody said, shove it, let's do it.
Right, well, yeah, but no one seemed to care for a very long time.
Well, for me, I've been hearing so much songs about it, and I kind of knew it would happen in my lifetime, but I didn't know it would happen as in such a quick succession, you know?
Yeah.
Music is one of the great tools that has helped shape the landscape of the law. You know, music has brought the truth back to this plant. You know, this plant is, you know, however you look at it, it heals epilepsy, it heals cancer, it heals and heals and heals. I mean, it's an extraordinary plant, and it's something that, for whatever reasons, has been vilified in media.
Yeah.
You know, media has influenced the thinking.
And when you look at the problems we've had with opiates made, you know, through pharmaceutical companies, you have to wonder whose agenda is at work.
Lauren, you don't wonder. You know. You follow the money.
Exactly. The pharmaceutical company have to have something to put the blame on.
That's right.
So that they can thrive, you know? Unfortunately, the marijuana was the scapegoat.
What also is difficult for them to make money off marijuana, you know? It's a plant that grows, and that's why...
They didn't take the time to do the research as they were given to other products or even to stuff like oil from the earth.
Great point.
When sugar and coffee, when those industries disappeared from the Caribbean, that opened up the opportunity for the law to change, because with the desperation that these hurricanes have caused as a result of the lack of this industry and the lack for people, the way for people to feed themselves, that really helped, opened opportunity for these laws to change as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Because at SwissX, we're actually making taking some big steps in providing seeds in exchange for plants, for grown harvest.
What's the website, SwissX?
SwissX.com. That's Swiss with an X. Right at the end of it, if you know, it's there. You'll be able to have some fun.
Sounds like Marlon's already having fun.
Where do we get to find all of your stuff?
Yeah.
Well, you can find me at Mr. Marlon Asher on any social media. ganja farmer, ganja pharmacy, ganja farmer, glass and
apparel. Go to YouTube, type out ganja farmer, and then you'll get this song that's 15 years old. It's got 20 million views and just one horrible picture of Marlon.
Congratulations, Marlon.
And that's my good side. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us, Marlon.
God bless, Marlon.
Thank you guys for having me. Have a blessing.
You too. Thanks. We're going to take a break. It's great music to take us out. Gervie's Law. ABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, I don't know about Murphy's Law, but I feel like I'm turned upside down. Spend an hour with Alki David and you get turned upside down.
Yep.
Thanks for being with us, hosting the show. You're a great host.
Well, thanks.
You have a great radio voice.
Great radio voice.
Radio voice, radio face,
lot of
everything.
Lot of interesting facts in your head.
Oozing.
Oozing, you're oozing. And it's nice for you to sit in the captain's chair, Alan.
It is. It's a very nice position. You get to see everything.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. It's nice. Now,
it's a very nice studio, this, by the way. KABC have done a very good job.
It's a dump.
And Art in the back does a very good job running a good show. So hands it.
Well done, Art.
Who, Drew?
Art.
Oh, Art. Thank you, Art. Good
Not
job.
Drew is terrible. Drew is the last remaining, you know, he probably worked on MacGyver, the original version.
I have no idea what that
I loved
means.
That show.
I have no idea. He was a good-looking guy. We have some good-looking people on this show. Lauren Savant.
Thank you.
Alki David. Yeah. You know, this Alki show David. Would not be complete if we didn't talk about your ongoing legal struggles.
It is a law show, after all.
It is a law show.
It's no longer a struggle.
Well, that's what we want. So we want to get Fred Heather on the show because he's at Patty Glaser's firm.
Yeah, he's in between Las Vegas and here right
now.
So
he couldn't make it. Yeah. You know, we do.
But we filed a fantastic motion to dismiss Lisa Bloom's felonious accusations.
Felonious.
Spurious. Yeah, because she's a criminal. She's a criminal.
Fallacious.
And and what I mean by that is that when you falsify witness lists, when you falsify evidence lists, when you pay people to lie, when you defraud the court not once but twice. And all of this stuff is put together very well by Fred Heather and his team.
I'm glad you clarified that because this isn't just Alki David.
No, this is not me raging. This is a year and a half of a very expensive
legal
very expensive interviewing, researching, and actually disseminating a tsunami of evidence as to how and why Gloria Allred and Lisa Bloom together, mother and daughter, run a scam operation where they manipulate the legal system as well as pay people to lie, and they manipulate witness lists, and the list goes on.
So, I mean, we've had Gloria Allred on this show multiple times before. I've met with Lisa Bloom before. What do you claim that they are falsifying?
I'm not claiming.
Is it just
anything.
Your case,
anything.
Or is this
the evidence is showing that Lisa Bloom and her client Chastity Jones, who defrauded the court,
how did they do that?
Well, for example, I would love to have the motion. You can download it now from Pacer, I suppose. The hearing comes up on the 18th. This on the 8th, Lisa Bloom has to respond on two instances where they defrauded the court by lying that originally Chastity Jones, Elizabeth Taylor and Mahim Khan, which were two clients split up between Gloria Allred and Lisa Bloom, that originally, and then it came back that Elizabeth Taylor and Chastity Jones, these are all three ex-employees who colluded together with these lawyers plus a couple of other guys to extort me by creating falsely creating these instances that never happened. And guess what? What's been wonderful ultimately has been the greed and the system by which these women have operated under it's so evolved as a system that it has been virtually impossible for them to extricate themselves from stopping. I mean, I've been fined more than $70 million for alleged knee touching one time. The rest are all, for example, when I defended myself against Lisa Bloom, I represented myself in court because I felt that at the time, with the amount of time given, nobody else was able to defend me the way I could. And the jury believed 8-4 in my favor that there was a fraud going on, right? They believed that there was a fraud going on, despite the fact that it was in the throes of the Me Too movement and that there was Alki David, the bad guy who was, you know, you just go to YouTube. You see, I'm a YouTube bad guy. I developed Alki David, the character. You go to YouTube and type out Alki David. You will see exactly what I mean, because there will be thousands of videos with me in different guises doing different crazy things online, right? And that was very easy for Lisa Bloom to manipulate. Mm. And what I mean by that is manipulate by doing the things that she's been accused of doing that she has to answer this week. And then on the 18th, she has to answer, particularly on the fraud on the courts. For example, I've been accused of raping a girl in my hologram theater.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for this lady who's in collusion with Elizabeth Taylor and Chastity Jones and Lisa Bloom, unfortunately for her, she has left a tsunami of evidence where she's bringing birthday cakes to me after these accusations. She's bringing birthday cakes and blah blah. Weren't you her boss at the time? Sorry,
weren't you her boss at the time?
Who?
You.
Who?
Didn't she work for you?
Who?
The victim. The alleged victim.
No.
She didn't work for you?
No.
Oh, she was just visiting your hologram studio?
Hold on a second. You don't know any of these events.
Only what I've read in the press.
So coming at me and saying, weren't you her boss? One of the accusations was that she didn't do what I'm being accused of doing.
Right.
I didn't even do what I'm being accused of doing, which is rape.
Right. My point was because a birthday cake was brought to you after an alleged assault, you know, wouldn't necessarily prove.
This is a month after, and this is after I've left the country. Mm-hmm. And this is on video. But forgive me, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, because this is evidence that needs to be extrapolated in a proper forum, right?
Right.
However, all of the other evidence is in a proper forum, and Lisa Bloom and Gloria Allred ultimately need to answer to it. And that is, why did they change evidence lists? And here's the evidence. Why did they pay people to lie? And here is the testimony of all these people. A bunch of people that originally accused me all realized after 3 years or whatever it's been going on for, realized that Alki David's been really, really hit hard and completely unjustly. And a lot of these people have turned around now and said, we don't want to be a part of this anymore. And they've written. And you can read them. You can download them on Pacer right now. You can download my motion to dismiss Lisa Bloom, and the lawsuit is Chastity Jones, and represented by Lisa Bloom's firm, Bloom Firm.
Are there any of the accusations they've made that you were guilty of? Besides the, yeah, the need.
So here's the thing. So here's the thing. Yes, but nothing sexual.
Okay.
Right? But everything is painted sexually. Everything. All of a sudden, Alki David is this like rapist attacker of women, which is really just not true. I'm not that person at all. At all. I'm the opposite. You know that I showed Janice Dickinson talking about her Bill Cosby rape a year before I broadcast it on TV here in LA, a year before Entertainment Tonight did, because Janice was working for me at the time, right? I've given loads of money to girls' charities. My mother taught me throw your cape down for a lady in the mud kind of thing, right? That's how I was brought up. I grew up the fantasy of seeing my parents married for decades. You know, that's the vision.
So more than the money here, you, like so many people that are wrongly accused, it's about getting your reputation back and getting...
And that's why, Lauren, let me just tell you...
It's about getting my father's reputation back, not me.
I see. Yeah,
because for me, I can take it. But
it's his father's reputation, and I want to say that, because we got to close up, but I want to say that's why you asked to be... First time you were on the show, you've been on the show a few times now, but you felt that you had something to say because Lisa Bloom's been on the show, Gloria's been on the show. You wanted to answer.
I want to say that not one single penny has ever been paid to any of these accusers and never will, because that's the way it is, because they are lying, they are thieving, they are extorting. And that is what they are doing. And guess what? They have to answer for it now.
And this is Alki David's position, and we appreciate you saying it.
This is also it's also Patty Glacier's firm, Glacier Wild's position, and the great law firm, the great team of people that really got together to accuse lawyers for being shitbags.
Okay.
Right? And lawyers don't do that very easily.
I taught you not to say that word.
I did. I didn't see you. You misheard.
I misheard. Before we let you go, and I want to thank you for hosting the show, talk a little bit about TikTok, because I know so many people follow you and Serene on
– Listen, it's her TikTok channel. I can't say anything about her TikTok channel other than the reason it's famous is because of me, Nasreen, okay?
Promote it.
It's Layla Q, LeyLaaq. That's double LeyLaaq on TikTok. We haven't been on TikTok in a year, though.
Yeah, you got people follow.
Go to my Instagram account, Alki David, AlkiDavid. Go to my Instagram account, and there you'll be able to see a fantastic video of me and the station manager getting into it.
We'll get back to the normal Gervie's Law next week. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Lauren.
What a
ride.
Thank
you, Alki.
Thank you very much, guys. It's been wonderful. I love this show.
Wonderful.
You get to see, I thank you for giving me the forum to talk about this stuff.
To be you.